Well, let's find our place in Philippians chapter number 4. Philippians chapter number 4. This evening we'll read just one verse, and that's verse number 8. Philippians chapter number 4 and verse number 8. Here God instructs us, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things." Father, we thank you for your word, and now as we consider a few thoughts this evening, Father, we confess our need of your Holy Spirit's assistance. And so, Father, we ask that you would just now wash us in their cleansing fountain, the blood of Christ, that our sins might be forgiven, Father, that any hindrance to the reception of your word would be removed, so that your Holy Spirit might have free access to our hearts and our minds, and Father, that we might do that which you would bid us to do this evening. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. This is perhaps a familiar verse, at least the whole idea of what it says here. It deals with our thought life. Our thought life is perhaps the most easily attacked area by the tempter, because it's something that we can sin in our thought life. We can sin in our thoughts, and no one else, for the most part, will know. Now, with that thought in mind, I want you to turn over. Now, we're going to come back to Philippians, of course, but turn over for just a moment to Matthew chapter number 15. Matthew chapter 15. Because I made the statement that, for the most part, people will never see what we think or know what's in our thoughts. But as they become a pattern and a habit, generally our thoughts become our actions. And that's why God warns us back in Philippians chapter number 4 to guard our thoughts and guard our minds very, very carefully. In Matthew chapter number 15, look in verse number 19. Jesus says, "For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man." Of course, the question had been arisen regarding the law of the Pharisees and the way that they interpret it. But the point here that Jesus is making is that all of our evil actions begin within our hearts. They begin within our minds. We first dwell on them, and then we contemplate them, and then we figure out how to perform them. And so when we move back to Philippians chapter 4, we keep that in mind, that when God is giving us this commandment here, and it is indeed a commandment at the end of the verse when he says, "Think on these things." God is commanding us to put all of our thoughts through the filter of these six criteria. And then we have that following the first six, the criteria, we have two ways in which we're to consider these, or two characteristics. Now, the first thing we see that should govern our thought life, is it true? He says, whatsoever things are true. Now, there's going to be a little overlapping here as we try to distinguish what each one of these criteria are. But God says if you're going to think on something, you make sure it's something that's true. There's a lot of damage that is done through gossip. There's a lot of damage that's done, or a lot of sin that's committed as we consider facts that just aren't facts. If we're going to think on things that are true, it's just simply those things that are facts. Now, when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, they were not thinking on facts, because the devil said to them, ye shall not surely die. Was that a fact or was that not a fact? That was not a fact. God had stated very, very clearly before that time, and they knew it, that in the day they ate, they would die.
But here they are having that thought implanted in their minds or suggested to them by the devil himself. They're considering that thought and thinking on that thought, I won't die. I can eat and I'll be okay and I'll live beyond that first bite. That's where they get into trouble. It began in the mind when they were thinking on something that was not true. I was talking to someone this past week that has had a struggle with drugs. And one of the things that came out in the conversation, and I understood exactly what he was talking about because it's the same thoughts that I thought 3 decades ago when I was involved on drugs. But you think on things that are not true. You're thinking, well, this won't hurt me. And so I can use these drugs without any effect on my life. That's not true. Drugs will hurt every individual that uses them and abuses them, and it will affect their lives. Someone who's involved in drugs and becomes a drug addict is thinking that this will never get control of my life. That's not a fact. The fact is, drugs will always take over and ruin a person's life. They get into trouble because they're not thinking on things that are true. The person who commits adultery, that's what's going on in their mind. They're thinking, well, I can get involved with this other person. I can flirt and I can tease, and it's not going to have any effect on me or that other person. Before they know it, they're in sin. But it all began in the thoughts. It all began in the mind because they were thinking on things that just weren't true. Now, what is the basis of truth that we have? That's an easy question to answer. The basis of truth that we have is right here, our very foundation, the Word of God. And so we need to read the Word of God so that we know what is true. As we hear the commercials and read the advertisements from our primary presidential candidates, and we see them saying contradictory things and claiming the other one is lying, and they're both pointing their fingers at the other, say, he's not telling the truth. How do we know what's true? We know it's true because the Word of God tells us what's true. And as long as we stay based on truth, God says you'll avoid heartache, you'll avoid sin, and you'll find the joy that He wants us to have. Remember, it's how to have joy in our life. That's the theme of Philippians. And that's why He tells us to guard our thoughts and the things that we think about. The first criteria of anything we think about must be truth. The second criteria that He gives to us, not only whatsoever things are true, but also whatsoever things are honest. Whatsoever things are honest. Now, this is a curious word, a little bit more difficult to actually get a handle on and describe. Perhaps as a hint as to what God is referring to here is to look at the word itself in the Greek, and we find that it comes from a verb that means to worship. And it kind of gives us that idea of that which is dignified, that which inspires reverence and awe. Now, a form of this word is used in the pastoral and the deacon qualifications, and that word grave, the idea of being respected. And so God is telling us when it comes to our thought life, we should dwell on those things that are honest in the way or in the fact that, or in the manner in which that these are things which are respectful. These are things which are true, but also things which are dignified, things which are serious in our thought life. Now, we all like to laugh. God gave us that emotion. And as you study this, you'll read some people that say that all our thoughts should always be nothing but total seriousness. And so we should never crack a smile, we should never tell a joke, because those thoughts should never enter our mind. Now, I don't believe that. I don't agree with that. We can have fun, and we can laugh, excuse me, and we can joke. But God's saying there has to be a limit on it. There has to be some restrictions placed on even that. We can't just be telling things that are joking with people in a way that is undignified. Now, of course, that would include all innuendo and immoral type joking and cursing and things like that involved in it. If you worked in a secular workplace, you know that there's a lot of people that like to joke that way. God says that should never be in your thoughts. Now, the problem we have living today is that we like to watch television. And on most of those television shows, they completely throw this one out. They totally throw it out. And so you're letting your mind absorb those so-called humorous conversations, and it doesn't meet the guidelines given to us in God's Word. So what are you going to do about it? Well, you'll have to make that decision between you and God. But God tells you, now remember, this isn't a suggestion. This isn't a recommendation. This is a commandment. Just as weighty as the Ten Commandments. God expects His children to abide by these rules. And so, He says, your thought life should be dignified. Now, we can have fun, as I said. I really don't remember how the conversation came up, but the athletic director, it's too bad Tom Baum's not up here. He'd really enjoy this one. But the athletic director at the church or the school there in Newark, and Abby was going on about how old that man was. And I stopped her and said, now, what are you trying to tell me? I'm older than he is. And she goes, oh, no, you're not. So I went up to him over the week, and I told him what Abby had said. I said, now, I'm 51. Are you older or younger than that? Well, it was funny because he was also 51. But I am older by almost a year. But just kind of joking and teasing with him. And later on in that day, I held the door for him, and he just said, how you doing, old man? Now, we're just teasing. We're not trying to hurt the other person. That's acceptable. But when we say things that are trying to cut down the other person, trying to hurt them and degrade them in front of and around other people, God says that doesn't meet this qualification of honest. We should never plot and scheme how we can hurt someone, because that's not what God wants us to think about. God commands us to think about that which is dignified. There's a lot of silly things out there. Do you know why this one's easy. Do you know why the chicken crossed the playground? This is easy. To get to the other slide. Okay? Why'd the ghost cross the road? Usually it's why the chicken crossed the road, or why the ghost crossed the road. He wanted to get to the body shop. Think about it. You might get it. But anyway, those aren't, I think, disqualified from the thoughts that are honest. They're silly. They make us chuckle. They make us think. But they're not to hurt anyone, and they don't hurt or offend others. That's what God is trying to get across here on these thoughts that are honest. That our intentions, our motives, are always honest and pure and right. It doesn't mean we can't joke. It doesn't mean we can't tease. It doesn't mean we can't have fun in life. Because God created those emotions within us, and I believe God does the same thing. And so if we're to suppress the way God made us, then I believe that's just as wrong as dwelling on those things we ought not dwell on. And so those individuals that would say that that's what this means, just you can't ever joke, I think they're wrong. All right, God says our first two criteria. The first is true, that which is true, that which is honest. The third criteria is whatsoever things are just. Whatsoever things are just. Now, I believe this probably refers to that which is right in relation, first of all, to God. right in relation to God. Now, when you go through a terrible trial or tragedy or crisis in your life, it's oftentimes natural to question God and to accuse God of being unloving or unkind. God says our thoughts should be right before God. And so we should never accuse Him of being unkind and unfair. Now, sometimes in the strong emotional moments, we slip with that, but God says that's sin, because that would be breaking this commandment. But I think God understands. But we should be careful that what we think is right in relation to God. Now, the way this generally would apply is, I don't think God really cares if I do this thing, even though in His Word it says I probably shouldn't. That thought is not just. That thought is sin. And that thought, because you're not thinking right thoughts, you're not thinking just thoughts, that thought will then lead to an action which is also sin. You see, we commit one sin and we think, well, I just committed one sin. But if we really break it down into how God's Word describes it, there is never just one sin. There's always a whole multitude of sins, and that's why it's so important to ask God to forgive us, not just of the sins we're aware of, confessing those, but also confess that there's sin that we're unaware of, so that we can be fully cleansed by the blood of Christ, and none of these sins that we don't even know we committed, because we didn't break it down enough like His Word does, so that those sins can be forgiven too. But our thoughts must be in a right relation with God, giving Him the credit where the credit is due, and not accusing Him for doing things that He didn't do, not questioning or accusing Him of having the wrong motive in dealing in our lives, by bringing things in our lives for our harm. Because the Bible tells us over and over again, remember, that's our truth, that's our standard. God tells us that all these things are for our good. And so, our thoughts must be kept just in a right relationship to God, or a right relation to God, but also right in relation to our fellow man. Right in relation to our fellow man. This one is more difficult, because it's not just limited to those that are of the household of faith. It's not just limited to the elect. It's not just limited to the born again. This extends to all of those people we come in contact with. And we know that not all of those people we come in contact with live a Christian life and agree with our attempt to do so. And so they'll say things and they'll do things that will hurt our feelings or give us these thoughts that, man, I just want to strangle him. Is that a right relation to that individual? I mean, think about some of the kids we have coming in church on the van. Are your thoughts just concerning that individual? Now, to be just, we're going to think only their good and only their benefit. And how can I serve them? How can I minister to them? How can I help that individual? Now, we know that if an individual doesn't want our help, they're not going to receive it. It's not going to do any good. But that shouldn't change the way we think about them. It's easy to point a finger. And we find that's what's taking place during this election process. People take sides. And they say, well, I don't like that one because they're just wrong. But we don't always just leave it at that. We attack. And if you listen to the radio talk show hosts and in the media, you find that there's hatred and anger involved in their thought life toward other people. But sometimes we have that in our lives toward other people as well. And God says, that's not just. Those aren't the kind of thoughts you ought to harbor. Those aren't the kind of thoughts you ought to think. Because if you do, you will sacrifice the joy that He wants you to have. The first criteria is our thoughts should be true, our thoughts should be honest. Thirdly, they should be just. Fourthly, they should be pure. Whatsoever things are pure. To be pure just means to be free from carnality and fault. To not have anything that will corrupt us. We should always think the best of others. And that's kind of overlapping with the next one, which is whatsoever things are lovely. But those thoughts should always be pure. Again, I go to TV because TV is so common in our culture. And I go to the sitcom because when I used to watch TV, that's generally what I watched. But are their thoughts in their conversation coming out as pure towards one another? See, I don't think we realize how much television affects our mind and our life. God is warning us in this verse and commanding us in this life that we need to protect our mind. That we need to watch what we let in, because what we let in will affect it and affect what comes out of our thoughts and into our actions. And as we let our life be so affected, as we absorb what's going on the television set that's so ungodly, our actions will then and our speech will then become as ungodly as what we're watching. We'll pattern our lives after what we see. That's why we have so much difficulty with our young people today. When we were growing up, the television shows weren't anything like what they're like today. They're so bad today, they have to put little warnings on them for sex, violence, and I don't even know what all the little symbols are for, the little letters are for. But they have to put the little, grade it for you, to warn you that this is bad. But it concerns me when I go to the library to check out a video and I get a show that's rated PG-13, and when you read why it's rated that, it talks about nudity. Last time I knew, that should make it a little bit more than a PG-13, shouldn't it? Why are we letting the sinner decide what's sinful? I mean, that's just the bottom line. Why do we let the wicked tell us what's okay and what's not okay? Remember, we have one standard of that which is true. We have one standard of truth. It's right here. It's the Word of God. And we need to let the Word of God filter these things for us. The television set is full of impure thoughts. The advertising business, whether it be the television commercials, whether it be in magazines, and you just go to the grocery store and you see those magazines on those racks when you try to check out, and you realize that that magazine is full of impurity, whether it be the pictures or some of the titles of what's inside that magazine. It's impurity. Why do we waste our time on those things? God commands us not to. Don't think that way. Don't think those thoughts. Guard your mind. Think pure thoughts. Think just thoughts. Think honest thoughts. Think true thoughts. And as I said, number five is that which is lovely. Something that is lovely is something that's acceptable and pleasing. Wouldn't it be cool if right in the middle of our forehead we had a little 3x3 video screen? And on that video screen would be projected everything you're thinking. Would that be cool? I'm glad I don't have one. I'm sure you are as well. But the point of that is, that which is lovely is that which you wouldn't mind having displayed on that 3x3 video screen on your forehead. If someone walked up to you at any given moment of your life and said, "What are you thinking right now?" would you be ashamed to share that with them? If the answer ever becomes yes, then God says you're not thinking on that which is lovely. That's what he's talking about. That which is acceptable and pleasing. And again, this has two directions. I'm talking about the horizontal. That which is acceptable and pleasing to our fellow man. Would it offend that person that's viewing your screen or that you're sharing your thoughts with? If it does, or if it would, then you ought not think those thoughts. But then ultimately, there's the vertical direction. Is it acceptable and pleasing to our Heavenly Father? And boy, that's a tough test, isn't it? Some of you may be thinking, well, there's nothing left to think about. Sometimes it seems that way, but we need to guard our minds and learn to think these thoughts and fill it with good. When we begin to fill it with good, then it's not such a big issue, not such a problem. There's one last criteria here, and that's just that which is of good report, of good report. Dwelling on the positive things in life. It's easy to be negative all the time. And I've been accused of being a negative preacher sometimes because I don't mind exposing the cults. I don't mind calling down names of those that I believe are not true to the Scripture. And some people don't like that. But again, what is our basis of truth? It's the Bible, the Word of God. In the Word of God, He calls down names of groups and individual people's names to expose them as wrong. And so when I do that, I only do that because it does it in the Word of God. I know some preachers that are good men, but they refuse to do that. Well, they're not following the guidelines of God's Word. But God says we need to have good report. Think on the positive side. When it comes to other people or other situations, can you find a silver lining? Now, again, relating back to this weekend, if you didn't know it, Tom Baum is the athletic director out at the school. And he had received a complaint about one particular school's fans and the way they behaved at the tournament. And I appreciate him asking me my take on it, because they really did nothing wrong. Now, I didn't like them cheering for the other team because I was rooting for our team. That's just the way it is. But if I was rooting for their team, I'd be happy that they were making so much noise and having so much fun. Because in their cheers, they never once, that I heard anyway, they never once criticized any of our players or said anything derogatory towards our team. They were always just cheering their team. And that's what we're supposed to do. That's being a fan. That's a good report. But I'm glad Tom allowed me to give a good report. We could take it the other way and just criticize them for being so obnoxious and making so much noise and irritating us because they're rooting for the other team. That's not what God's talking about. God says our thoughts ought to think the best of other people. Too often we jump to conclusions and we criticize someone and accuse someone of wrongdoing, and it's unjust. We've got to learn to try to figure out why they said what they said or why they did what they did and give them the benefit of the doubt. I believe that's what God's talking about when He says our thoughts should be come under the criteria of good report, of good report. A lot of the problems, probably most of the problems that people have in life, stem from nothing other than a breakdown in communication. A lot of times that breakdown in communication comes because somebody took something the wrong way, other than it was intended when it was said. If we're putting everything we think through the criteria of good report, we're not going to take it that way. And so there won't be the problem. There won't be the friction. God says we need to filter everything we think about through this six criteria. And then He says, in the final two instances, rather than whatsoever things are, He says, if there be any, if there be any. First of all, virtue refers to or speaks of moral goodness, that which motivates us to be better people, to be more spiritual Christians, to be more Christ-like. He says, those are the things we think about, things with virtue. Not things that'll take us away from Christ, but things that'll draw us to Christ. And then he says, if there be any praise, is it worth commending to others? Does it bring God glory? God says, that's how we ought to think, because he says, think on these things. How's your thought life? God says we need to guard it. But it's probably the easiest thing to let slip because nobody sees it. They might see an action here and an action there, but they don't know what you're thinking. God says he does. And just for that very reason, we should follow the commandments of Philippians chapter 4, verse number 8, and think on that which is true, honest, pure, just, lovely, and of good report. Father, we thank you for your word and just the plainness of it. Father, we know that sometimes it's easy to allow our minds to wander into other areas. But Father, help us to understand this verse. And Father, help us to live according to it. All for your honor and your glory in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.